Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. City of Fairbanks Mayor Jim Matherly appears on track to win a second term. The incumbent is leading close challenger Catherine Dodge and far-trailing candidates Lakeisha Jordan and Frank Turney in the four-way race.
Everybody ran a good race. Nothing negative was thrown around. And that includes the other three that ran for city mayor.
According to unofficial results, Matherly garnered 1,720 votes, just under half of the total cast in the city's 12 precincts.
I'm very comfortable with my lead. I feel very confident, and I'm just ready to get back to work.
Matherly leads Dodge by more than 200 votes. Dodge, a former borough assembly member who lost a bid for a seat in the state legislature last year by just 2 votes, has not conceded the mayor's race, citing hope that the tally of 838 early absentee and question ballots will sway the outcome in her favor.
We've encouraged people to go vote early, so it's entirely possible that we have the majority of them.
Dodge raised over $51,000 for her campaign, more than double what Matherly did.
More money does not mean more votes. I think we found that out here.
Matherly says he better reflects the city's conservative voters and points to help from the Anchorage-based fundamentalist Christian Alaska Family Council, which urged its supporters to back Matherly after he vetoed an LGBTQ anti-discrimination ordinance in February.
I think a lot of folks who maybe didn't vote in the past or didn't pay attention to everything at the city probably got mobilized through the help of that.
Fairbanks City voters returned incumbent Valerie Therrien to Council Seat C. Therrien has served on the Borough Assembly and the Fairbanks City Council twice, says she's going to make the best of this 3-year term.
This is probably my last time. I'll be term limited after this election. We're going to have a really tough budget. We're facing $1 million shortfall.
Newcomer Aaron Gibson won City Council Seat D. Gibson says balancing the budget is his top priority, but that it will be challenging without big cuts or new revenues.
I heard a lot of people talk about different ideas for revenues, and somewhat surprising in how some people feel about it. There's some people that are really advocating for a sales tax. Not really sure I'm there yet.
Gibson is filling a seat currently held by Catherine Otterston, who did not seek a second council term. Pending a final vote tally, the city council will consider certification of election results at an October 14th meeting. Santa Claus and Thomas McGee were the top vote-getters in a 3-way race for 2 open city council seats in North Pole. Fairbanks North Star Borough voters have returned 2 incumbents and added 2 newcomers to the assembly and chosen 2 new school board members. KUAC's Robin reports.
Mindy O'Neill has been in her borough assembly seat C for about 2 months. She was appointed to fill out the term of Andrew Gray, who resigned this summer. She will now return to the seat after receiving about 6,000 of the votes cast yesterday. She beat Jeff Rensel in a close race. He had just over 5,000 votes from yesterday's tally. O'Neill says the campaign broadened her outlook on borough citizens.
I met people in the community that really opened my eyes to issues that I hadn't considered or perspectives that were different than my own.
Matthew Cooper is the presiding officer of the assembly. Voters returned him to seat I with 6,400 votes over Zachary Floyd with 4,600. Cooper said the next term will be challenging.
What do we do locally when faced with budget issues at the state level? How do we maintain services at a price that's affordable for borough residents? I think these are going to be issues that are really hard to deal with over the next several years.
Jimmy Cash was reached by phone on his way home because he planned to get up before 5 this morning to go to work. He won seat E with over 5,000 votes, beating 3 other candidates, including incumbent Jeff Wildridge. Cash said running for office was a lot more work than he expected, but he learned a lot.
This has been a very positive experience. There's 4 people running for this seat. All 3 of the other guys have been great gentlemen, a lot of respect for all of them. We all want what we believe is best for the borough.
Frank Tomaszewski won seat B in a 4-way race with 5,500 votes, displacing incumbent Sean Tacky with 4,200. Those numbers will change as absentee and questioned ballots are counted, but those votes will likely not affect the outcome. 2 new school board members were voted in. Matthew Sampson won over Brandon Boylan and Kimba Manning for school board seat C. Jennifer Luke won seat D over Mike Kenna. She said campaigning took her to many public events, including a candidate forum put on by high school students.
I don't think I was as nervous anywhere else other than at West Valley Student Forum. I told the students, I don't want this conversation to end today. If I get on this board, I want to continue having these conversations with you because your voice matters.
About 18% of the people who could have voted in the borough cast their ballots yesterday or earlier. In Fairbanks, I'm Robin.
Borough Clerk April Trickey says a canvassing board will tally over 2,000 outstanding ballots by an October 8th deadline. The assembly will consider certification of results at an October 24th meeting. A dog was killed by a wolf north of Fairbanks. Alaska Department of Fish and Game area biologist Tony Hollis says the attack occurred Monday on the Elliott Highway end of Old Murphy Dome Road.
There was a helicopter in the area that flew over and saw the wolf right near the dog carcass, so it has been confirmed.
Hollis says the state is monitoring the situation.
We did see a Facebook post that somebody saw kind of in that same general vicinity, a pack of four wolves. It's not uncommon for wolves to be in that area. Generally, we get reports of them every year.
Hollis says it's uncommon for wolves to kill dogs, but the department offers recommendations to protect pets and other livestock, including housing them indoors or within a fenced area, especially at night. They also recommend lighting and the clearing of brush from around where animals are kept. The Alaska Permanent Fund Corporation is tapping two companies to help invest $200 million in-state. The Alaska Energy Desk's Rasha McChesney reports.
After a year of planning, the Permanent Fund Corporation has launched its in-state investment program. The initial investment of $200 million will be split between two fund managers, one local and one that's new to the state. And between the two of them, there's a pretty broad range of opportunities that they're looking to invest in. Everything from private equity, infrastructure, to natural resources, transportation. And they're looking for investment ideas from Alaskans, too. Mina Pacheco-Nuzeme is a managing director at Barings. That's the one that's new to the state.
We recognize that there are a lot of folks who've been in the state who are locals, who have, very, specific views, a lot of history within the state, and may have some great ideas, and we want to hear from everyone.
This move to invest in the state is part of a larger strategy that the Permanent Fund Corporation's Board of Trustees set last year. It would eventually carve out up to 5% of the permanent fund for in-state investments. News of a new pool of investment money has landed well in some parts of the state. Hugh Short is a co-founder and CEO of Alaska-based PT Capital. It's a financial services company that has invested in projects here and in Iceland and Finland. Up until now, Short says it's been hard to build a project big enough to pitch to the Permanent Fund Corporation.
It's been a challenge for us to access investment from the Permanent Fund because they're so large.
Now, he says his company is in a position to pitch both of the in-state investment managers. And he says it could be a game changer for Alaska, but fund managers will have to approach projects carefully.
It's not a giveaway. This isn't let's go out and do boondoggles.
That idea bothers Steve Rieger. The idea that some investments could get attention just because they're in Alaska. Rieger has a long history with the fund. He helped craft the legislation in the early 80s that established the Permanent Fund Corporation, and then he served on its board of trustees. Back then, there was a big fight over how the Permanent Fund should work. Should it be a development bank for Alaska, or function as it does now, as a fund that invests prudently and focuses on returns? Rieger says that's a big part of the reason why they didn't invest in the state from the beginning. And he worries that it's not a good idea to change that mandate now.
I think that if there is a good, solid investment of the quality that the Permanent Fund would invest in, it can and I think would happen without this set aside.
He says investing in the state comes with its own unique set of challenges because it's close to home, essentially that fund managers will have to choose between making a profit and being seen as good neighbors for Alaskans. From Alaska's Energy Desk, I'm Rasha McChesney in Juneau.
And I'm Dan Bross.